It's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to this pre-Thanksgiving edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. Thank you so much for joining us today. You could have been anywhere on your radio dial, but we're certainly happy you decided to stop by here. Today on the show, we're talking about beyond the broken trust, repairing the hurt and pain caused when trust is broken. Oh boy, get ready to call. I know you have stories and I know you have questions. Call us at 855-454-5905. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Bacon. Here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos. How are you?
Good morning, Tiffany. Pre-Thanksgiving. All right, yeah. So Thanksgiving already?
I know. Everything is moving so quickly. I just can't.
Absolutely. And as always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. We want to welcome everyone to our show here, Marriage Beyond the Vows. And as always, we hope and pray that today's program will enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great relationship. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father and God, we are so grateful for all our friends and those who are listening right now, God, and those who are about to tune in, Father, whose hearts are hurting, who need some direction from your word, some encouragement from us, God. I do pray that you help us to repair the broken trust. There's so many marriages right now, so many relationships that are hurting, that are asking for some guidance, Father, and I do pray that you give us your spirit so that we can help those who are hurting right now and to heal. We love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as I mentioned in the prayer, we do want to welcome all those here in Philadelphia and in Charlotte and throughout the world who are listening online. There are quite a few people who listen around the world, which is very, very encouraging. And we want to start with our theme scripture of the day, which comes from 2 Corinthians 7. Mm-hmm. And I want to start reading it from the Message translation just for a minute, and then I'll make reference to what that scripture is actually saying in the NIV, the New International Version. But it says, I know I distressed you greatly by my letter. Although I felt awful at the time, I don't feel all that bad now that I see how it turned out. The letter upset you, but only for a while. Now I am glad not that you were upset, but that you were jarred into turning things around. You let the distress bring you to God, not drive you from him. The result was all gain, no loss. Distress that drives us to God does that. It turns us around. It gets us back in the way of salvation. We never regret that kind of pain. But those who let distress drive them away from God are full of regrets and end up on a deathbed of regrets. And now, isn't it wonderful all the ways in which this distress has goaded you closer to God? You're more alive, more concerned, more sensitive, more reverent, more human, more passionate, more responsible. Look at it from any angle. You've come out from this with purity of heart. And all this I was hoping for in the first place when I wrote the letter. Mm-hmm. My primary concern was not for the one who did the wrong or even the one wrong, but for you, that you would realize and act the deep, deep ties between us before God. That's what happened, and we felt great. Mm-hmm. All right, now you might be wondering, what does this have to do with broken trust, broken pain? Well, if you know anything about the church in Corinth, Paul wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians as a rebuke, as a really stern correction because of the sin that they were not dealing with. And this was sexual sin. This was actually one of the members of the congregation in Corinth slept with his stepmother. And they didn't deal with it in the right way. They thought they had a better way to deal with it instead of really being firm and you know, righteous the way the Bible says. And Paul was basically saying, you should have put him out of the fellowship. He does not belong there. And it wasn't just to punish the guy, but it was to say, okay, look, this is our stance on sin. Mm-hmm. We have conviction about sin. And so this is what we're going to do. But the church in Corinthians, the church in Corinth, felt like they had a better way to deal with it. And you know what? This brings me back that a lot of times I see a lot of sin that destroys relationships. But people don't deal with that sin the way they should. Sometimes, and I know the Bible teaches that we need to forgive, but sometimes we're quick to take the person back or pretend that nothing happened, but there's not true forgiveness. And there's a lot of pain and hurt. And then the person goes back. In the case of infidelity, sometimes the person that committed the act of being unfaithful returns, and then they do it again. And they do it again because they have not learned a lesson. And other times, I feel like the person who feels like they've been victimized, the one that's they've remained faithful, but their spouse wasn't, they start feeling like, wait a minute, you know, are you taking advantage of me? How do I know you've really changed? And it's really hard, you know, to kind of repair that broken trust if you were caught in sin, mm-hmm. you know, sin found you out. If you know something happened where now you're caught red-handed, whatever mm-hmm. it is, it's a lot easier to repair that if you come forth and you're open and you're honest. Even then, though, mm-hmm. there are some consequences and the trust is broken. Now, it's not just in the case of infidelity; it could be other things. It could be situations with your family. Mm-hmm. It could be deceit, some kind of deceit that you have in your relationship that you had not talked about. So, of course, we mm-hmm. want to hear from you. We want to talk about it. We know there are many right now who are hurting, mm-hmm. who are trying to figure out, okay, how do we fix this? This is broken. Yeah. The trust is broken. Could it ever get back to the way it was? Could it ever be repaired? So we want to hear from you.
So give us a call at 855-454-5905. Really quickly, I want to ask you a question about how to guide couples if the sin isn't so like enormous and clearly stated. For example, what if it was that the spouse was hurt because of lack of compassion? So say if the spouse was sick or was going through something and the husband or the wife just responded in a very cavalier way and just, you know, really hurt their spouse's feelings and constantly hurts their feelings because they act as if they don't really care about what they're going through. And that can kind of create a level of distrust. But you can't really go to your pastor and say, you know, he cheated on me or she cheated on me, because it's not clear, but you feel a distance.
Are you saying like that conniving husband did not make me that chicken soup when I was sick?
No, like say for example, if say your wife felt like every time I have an issue or a problem, you dismiss it.
Okay. No,
so I can't trust my feelings with you because we're supposed to be able to share, we're supposed to be able to be transparent. But when I express myself, you dismiss it. And now I feel like I can't trust you with my feelings.
Great question, Tiffany. And I think there are many situations like that. Mm-hmm. The good side of it, there's a good and the bad. The good side is those things are a lot easier to repair, because mm-hmm. if that's the case, it takes some time. But once you make that change, you make that adjustment. Mm-hmm. I've been through that. There are times when my wife has felt, Marcos, you don't listen. You're mm-hmm. not hearing mm-hmm. me. You know, I feel like you're dismissing me. Right. And she's described that and communicated that with me in the past. And once I've made that adjustment, first of all, it has to come humble. I'm really sorry. I didn't realize it. Mm-hmm. And sincere. But at the same time, making that adjustment, making that change kind of opens up that trust again. It's like, wait a minute, this was a misunderstanding. And what I love is, Matthew 18, it talks about what happens if someone sins against us. There's a mm-hmm. right way to deal with it and there's a wrong way. Mm-hmm. You know, the right way is to just bring it to that person. Now, if you could break that trust even further, if let's say in your case scenario, if the husband doesn't really listen, but and you're the wife, and instead mm-hmm. of talking to him, you go and call your mother mm-hmm. or call your best friend, and you mm-hmm. start saying, oh, this man, he won't listen to me. Mm-hmm. And then it gets back to him and he didn't even know. He was clueless. Mm-hmm. And so those kind of things really mm-hmm. break the trust.
Spiral
so I would say the first thing you want to do is just go back to them. And now if you can't get that done, Matthew 18 talks about how to handle it. And it says, you bring one or two others along. And that's when you should get that pastor mm-hmm. or a great friend or someone spiritual mm-hmm. just to say, let's talk this out. So again, we'll have more about that. But we really do want to talk about how to go beyond the broken trust, repairing the hurt and pain caused when trust is broken.
All right. So give us a call. Let us know your situation and ask your questions now. Our number is 855-454-5905. Stay right there. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Today we are talking about beyond the broken trust, repairing the hurt and pain caused when trust is broken. Reach out to us with your comments, your questions, your testimonies, of whatever it is that you're dealing with under the topic today. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. Marcos, our first caller is an anonymous caller. Caller, good morning. You are live on the air.
Good morning.
Yes, hi. Good morning. We're discussing beyond the broken trust and how we can hurt and be caused pain by our spouse. And sometimes that's infidelity. Sometimes it's not. If you want to share with us, welcome to our program.
Thank you. Yes, I spoke with you all the first part of last year, I think in like January. My husband had confessed to me in November of last year of having an affair with a woman. It happened in June of last year. He ended up leaving on Christmas Day last year. Now, he and I maintained contact throughout this year. He actually came back like three different times, and he left. He only stayed like 3 or 4 days. This time he has come back. It's been 2 weeks ago today. But I just feel like my husband is not remorseful for what he's done. I don't even know if he's repented to God. I've asked him. He's apologized for what he's done. But his behavior and the things that he's doing is not conducive to what he's saying. And even on yesterday, he came in from work, got up at 4. He didn't come in here until like going on 10 o'clock, took a shower. He's been gone. I haven't heard from him. And I am still trying to just, you know, maintain as a wife. But I need to know, what do I do beyond the hurt? Because I have been through so much. It's just, I can just, it's just really bad. This woman that he's even dealt with, this woman has called me and texted me and just has been nasty to me, but she's having an affair with my husband.
Sure.
So I need to know, if my husband said he wants to make it work, what do I do? Do I still stand or do I move on?
Okay, well, first of all, thank you so much for your courage to call and to deal with the situation. You know, a lot of times people are in denial and they don't want to deal. And it sounds like you're getting to that point where you're saying, okay, enough is enough. I want to forgive him, but I need to do something. So the first thing I just had a question about was, you said you took him back 2 weeks ago. Is that correct?
I'm sorry.
No, you mentioned that you took your husband back home 2 weeks ago.
Yes, and each time that he come back, he asks for forgiveness. And like I say, it's been 2 weeks ago this go around.
Okay.
And to me, he's just not, I just don't see it.
So why did you take him back if you didn't see that change?
Because I love him and I want to make it work.
Okay.
And that's what he's saying as well. And he said, I don't know if he's physically still dealing with this woman that he says he's not, but I just... his behavior, I just don't believe it.
Okay. And I think you hit it right on the head. And what I tell people, when that trust is broken, you got to stop listening to people's words and you got to listen to their actions.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference. You know, there are people, and I don't know your husband. We could only go by what we're hearing from you. You know, we don't know. But it sounds like if he's confessed, or did he ever confess to this, or did you catch him in having...
Well, he confessed. He told me about it. Like I said, it's been a year this month when he confessed it. And it happened like around June of last year.
Okay. And you have had suspicions that this was going on, or it's just his behavior that's really driving you up the wall?
As far as now or...
No, right now, at this point.
At this point, it's just... It's just a behavior, because he comes in late and stuff.
Okay. All right. And I'm glad you said this, because I've had numerous conversations. Some are listeners, some are not. But I've had these conversations throughout the years pretty often where sometimes, you know, you're trying to ask, okay, what do I do? You know, do I draw boundaries? I think, just so you know, as a wife, you have every right to know where your husband is. You can't feel guilty about it. He should not be trying to make you feel guilty. If that trust is broken, he has to go above and beyond.
And I agree.
And
I
if
agree.
He
we
doesn't
have
do
down
that,
and we've talked about this stuff.
Okay, and let me finish with.
I'm sorry.
If he doesn't do that, you got to ask yourself why. And he's not helping to fix something. You know, we talk about trust, and there are numbers, you know, degrees of trust, right? You won't trust a stranger. Then you get to know someone a little bit, you trust them a little more. But once you marry someone, you're saying, okay, I'm totally going to trust this person. And once that trust is broken, it is that individual's responsibility to rebuild it. And they have to go above and beyond. I mean, to the point where if this man needed to check in with you every hour and that's mm-hmm. what you need, it doesn't mean you're like, you know, difficult or controlling. It's mm-hmm. just you're trying to regain this trust.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do it all the time, right? If we have teenage children, you know what we do? We see that they break the trust and we get very, mm-hmm. very specific. Mm-hmm. And we'll say, okay, you're not going out. If you go out, I want to know where you're going, with who, all that kind of stuff. Now, mm-hmm. with a spouse, you know, a lot of times we feel like, oh, well, they're adults. You know, is this, you know, are we going over, beyond or the extent of our, you know, of our roles? And I think in this case, your husband needs help. I don't know who's in his life, but I could tell you, if I had an opportunity to speak with him, which I would love to speak with him, he's messing up even big time, bigger than just the affair, because he already committed the affair. That's huge. But you're giving him an opportunity after opportunity. But he's the way he's handling this, even if nothing is happening, he's destroying the marriage even further, because you're feeling insecure and you have a right. If he had never been unfaithful, then I can say, well, you're overreacting. But because he's been unfaithful, you have every single right to get, you know, to have an explanation, to know, okay, where have you been?
I agree.
All right. So is there a way? I mean, I would love to have a conversation with him. Obviously, he's not there now, is he?
No, he's not. And, you know, our pastor is aware of, you know, everything that's going on. And he says he wants to counsel, he wants to reconcile and do the right thing. But again, that's what your mouth says, but that's not what your actions say. And I want, you know, if at all costs, if it can work, I want to make it work. But I'm just to the point where, you know, at one point I was just so resentful and angry, driven towards my husband, and I don't want to be that way. I want to be at peace, and I don't want to be miserable, and I don't want to feel like I feel like I am not loved in my marriage. Mm-hmm. And we've only been married a little over 2 years, and you just don't know the pain that this man has caused me. And I went on with my life. Mm-hmm. He came back and pleaded that he wanted to make it work, and that he keep doing the same stuff.
Mm-hmm. I got you. And this is what I would share with you, just so you know. You could take responsibility for your actions. And your action is this. You need to make sure that you stand firm with your decision. When he was out of the house before taking him in, it's not just his words you want to listen to. So I want to encourage you, if you feel you could trust your pastor and you feel like he's going to give you some godly advice and he's going to challenge your husband and challenge you as well, then I encourage you to go ahead and make that happen as soon as possible. I mean, don't wait any longer. Just make that happen. This is urgent. I mean, it's not an emergency, like you're going to die today if you don't do it. But if you don't do this right away, I would say within the next week or so, you're going to keep hurting and you're not going to heal.
And I agree. And this is ironic because I listened to your program a lot, but I haven't in a while. And for you all to be on this subject and what I'm going through, I've been praying and fasting, and I know that it was meant for me to hear this topic this morning. So,
amen.
You know, I just, you know, I love my husband, but I would rather be by myself if he's going to continue to do what he's doing.
Okay. And we hear you and we hear your pain. And so I want to encourage you, don't wait any longer. Make this happen.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. And you be blessed.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. We definitely are looking forward to having you give us a call on our topic today, repairing the hurt and pain caused when trust is broken. We're talking about beyond the broken trust this morning. 855-454-5905. I believe we had another. Okay. We are looking forward to having you call. I thought we had a caller there, but I guess they're not there.
I think we have to call. And let me just make this statement here. I noticed this is not an easy topic to talk about. So mm-hmm. I know some of you are probably getting the courage to pick up the phone. You're calling and then you're like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to expose this. But let me say this. If you don't get the help that you need, you're not going to heal.
Yeah.
Okay. And so sometimes we just need to, like our previous caller, she decided to call and be anonymous. That's fine. And yet she, at the same time, she feels like, you know, this is what I needed to hear. Because sometimes we need that extra push. We know that we're not crazy, but we're in this situation and we feel like we're crazy. Like, am I losing my mind?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? Come on. But really what it is we kind of know what's right, but we start telling ourselves, maybe we're being too legalistic. Maybe we're being too controlling, too emotional, whatever it is. It's like, no, listen, as an outsider looking in, I'm not biased. I don't know who's calling. I don't know you, your husband. And I can tell you this situation smells funny. Something ain't right. You got to get it fixed. And this is how you fix it. Like any other problem, if you were to come to me with a different problem, say, hey, this, I had this issue with something totally irrelevant and your objective, you'll say, oh, yeah, you, this is what you need to do. But when you're in it and it's your problem and it's something that hits home, it's so hard because you feel like I'm a victim. You feel like if I talk about it, am I making a big deal of it? Especially when it comes to infidelity, because you're like, wait a minute, I thought I forgave him. What's going on here? And so something that I've designed a while back and I've been using a lot with couples is I do these sessions. And for all those who are interested, you know, please contact me. I would love to be able to help you. But one of the things that we realize is that people don't really understand forgiveness that we think we do. And we take them back, but we don't really deal with the issues. And so it comes back. It resurrects. And we're like, what's going on? Like in this previous caller, you know, she felt like, all right, she took her husband back. He said he changed, he repented. And now she's having her doubts because he's spending all this time away from home, doesn't even call, and just shows up whenever he wants. And she's like, what have you been doing? So we want to make sure that we deal with these things. All right. Yeah, so please give us a call.
And the number is 855-454-5905. Let's go to line two and speak with Reverend Mac. Reverend Mac, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you on this?
Oh, we're
morning.
Doing very well. Good morning, Reverend Mac. It's good to hear from you.
Man, it's a blessing to be on, Marcos. I tell you, man, I was just thinking about that topic, man. I was saying, first of all, in a marriage, you got to love God first. God has to be first. If you love God, you'll be able to trust your spouse and trust one another. That's the greatest thing in marriage. Without trust, what do you got? You don't have anything.
Right.
Absolutely.
And going through life, you're going to have ups and downs in marriages. But when you don't trust your spouse, then you go out and do everything that trying to get back at one another. But that's not the way of a good marriage, a successful marriage. Since I've been married for 18 years, and I trust my baby to trust each other. And, you know, it's a great thing to have that. If you don't have that, hey, you're missing it.
Ah, absolutely. And you know what I think, Reverend Mac, I'm sure you're in a position where you hear a lot of what we're hearing and you hear people come and say, listen, we need guidance, we need help, we need counseling. And I don't know if you were able to hear the previous caller. You know, sometimes we go through the motions of, okay, we forgave, but we're in this situation. And I know what you're saying. God should be first. But what do you say when you put God first, but your spouse doesn't?
Well, you know, that's she needs, if she don't put God first, it's what she needs to do. She needs to seek the Lord because he's supposed to be first. Is all right?
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate it. I think you're right.
Right. And I mean, then that caller that called, they need to be encouraged. You know, like you said, go get counseling and bring both of them to the pastor. You can talk to both of them, not just one person.
Absolutely. And you know what? I love what you said earlier. You said if your spouse doesn't put God first, you still do.
Yes, sir.
And I think that's some great advice. Well, Reverend Mac, we thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you. You be
all
blessed.
Right. God bless you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you all, too.
You too.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to line one and speak with an anonymous caller. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air. Hello. Yeah. Caller, are you there? Can't hear the caller. All right. So, again, we want to give you the numbers. We're going to get that caller on the line. We want to give you the numbers to call in. We are talking about moving beyond the broken trust. 855-454-5905.
Okay. Well, you know, like I said earlier, it's not easy to call. Some of you have been calling. I don't know if it's a problem with some of our phone lines. Usually that's not the problem. But sometimes we get cold feet and we feel like, oh, man, do I really want to talk about this stuff? So, again, we encourage you. You can call anonymously.
Yeah.
You don't have to
give your name.
You can give your nickname. I don't know. But bottom line is get the help for your relationship. Don't stay in pain or in disrepair, whatever is going on with your relationship. We really do want to give you guidance. And our theme scripture of today comes from 2 Corinthians 7, where Paul is talking about the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And godly sorrow is what we want. Mm-hmm. However, they're both sorrow. And what mm-hmm. happens is if you feel sorry and you're hurt, and you, I mean, there are times where your spouse might even shed tears. I'm so sorry. Mm. I'll never do this again. But what are the actions that follow?
Right.
It's easy to say you're sorry when you're caught. It's easy to apologize in the moment so you can fix things quickly. But what are you going to do to repair that trust?
Mm.
What I tell people all the time is now it's on you. The burden is on you. If you broke that trust, to go above and beyond. I mean, look, if your wife says, I want to know where you are, if she wants mm-hmm. to put a GPS on you, I mean, your heart, your repentance should be like, look, whatever. I don't deserve this. I'm just grateful that you're willing to mm-hmm. take me back. I was stupid. I was an idiot. And you are gracious and forgiving. Thank God. Let's work on this. And if you're smart, you realize this is not going to be for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But you right now, at this point, you have to build that trust.
Yeah. Real quick, would you say that it's a good rule of thumb, especially for singles or people who are at that place where they're looking at this other person as a potential spouse? If they're lying then while you're dating, that it's a good indication it's going to continue in the marriage? And should that be a red flag to kind of about face?
Okay, great. Now, you mentioned if they lie now. If a person is not trustworthy, then why would you give them your trust?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's as simple as that. If you can't trust them, and that's the parable of the talents, if you can't entrust someone with something small,
mm-hmm.
then how can you trust them with greater riches, with bigger things? And so how can you give someone your heart mm-hmm. when you can't trust them just to be honest about something simple?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it comes out. And you, what I want to encourage all of those who are not yet married is really pray for wisdom and discernment to mm-hmm. be able to say, okay, God, is this really the person, and are they trustworthy?
Yeah.
To me, the best, I would say, barometer for someone being trustworthy is how open and vulnerable they are. We're not expecting anyone to be perfect, but if they're open and honest, like, look, I'm tempted to lie, I'm frustrated right now, I'm feeling defensive, whatever, and you're just honest, sometimes ugly honest, and you say, wow, I can trust this person because they're real. The person that you know, they just lie and keep lying on top of a lie, that's just a sign of what they're going to be like later. Okay. Let's go. It seems like we have a few calls here coming through.
All right. Let's go to line 5 and speak with Lisa. Hi, Lisa. You're live on the air.
Hi. God, I'm so glad to call. It must be for me. my husband and I, we went through some things just about a year or half a year, 2 years ago. And my pastor had to intervene in a spiritual way.
Okay.
We had to remember that we asked God to forgive us over and over and over again. But yet when someone, your own mate or your spouse, come to you and ask for forgiveness 1,000 times, we don't want it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then we also know that, just like the preacher had said before, that if you don't put God first in marriage, it wasn't going to work anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because if God first, then your husband and wife, you know, so it has to be that trinity right there.
Absolutely. Now, Lisa, if you don't mind, I'm a little curious. You had mentioned that you went through something. Would you mind sharing?
Yes, I do.
Please.
My husband and I like it. We allowed some people to stay in our home. It went from allowing the, we allowed, in other words, we opened the door for the devil to walk in, from fornicating, homosexuality, all kinds of stuff went on, where my trust for him was, when I was at school or work, you allowed all this to go on. Are you a part of the solution or were you part of the problem?
Wow. So you and your husband allow someone.
Some of us women, we often think, and they found out that drugs had something to do with it, going out with other women, maybe some homosexuality is all in the play. And we look at one thing and just say, oh, they're messing around. Sometimes the devil's a counterfeit. That was a trinity right there.
Wow. Well, Lisa, I want to say thank you so much for sharing that. It sounds like you had some real issues to deal with, but you got someone to help you. Your pastor got involved. And you know what? For some reason, your phone is kind of breaking up, so it's a little hard to hear you. But I just want to say, Lisa, thank you for sharing that with us. And I'm going to comment a little bit more about that, but unfortunately, we just can't hear you too clearly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Let's go to...
Yeah, before we go, I just wanted to say, it sounds like to me what she said, and again, we couldn't... totally understand. I think it was clear, but she said that at some point her and her husband allowed somebody to come in, and the people that were there were just living a wild life under their roof, and it was affecting their relationship. And so, great point. I just want to mention here, I mean, great comment there, that you and your husband, or your husband and your wife, need to work together. And you got to become a team that no man can separate, no person. Meaning that if you got someone in this relationship, or you brought them into your home, and they're, you know, being destructive or affecting you spiritually, you need to deal with that. And I don't know, in the case of Lisa, what ended up happening, but it sounds like they dealt with it. And I'm sure at some point they had to tell that person, listen, you got to go. We can't have this here. And you can't be sentimental. Your relationship is more important. You got to guard that and protect that. So let's go now to an anonymous caller, I believe.
Yep, this person is single, but in a relationship that could lead to marriage. Hello, caller. You're live on the air.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for answering. I'm so happy that you guys are talking about this. It's like really for me. I'm in a committed relationship with someone. We're both Christians. We're both thinking about marriage. And this week, like there was a lot of family issues going on with him. And he and I got into a huge argument because he thought that I had broken his trust by telling people about some intimate details about his family and about him. And kind of, you know, we got into a huge argument. He blew up. And then he realized that he was wrong, and I hadn't actually said anything. But I feel now that I can't, that he doesn't trust me. And I don't know how to repair that, because I'm hurt, because I feel like he doesn't trust me. And I don't know how we can go forward if he questioned our level of trust and the fact that he could trust me with.
Okay, well, let me just, first of all, how long have you been together?
About a year and a half.
About a year and a half. And do you, have you set a date yet for marriage?
No, we've set an engagement period, like when we're thinking about getting engaged. It's probably about a year from now.
Okay, so you're not rushing into this. So that's actually a good thing. Sometimes people rush, and then they feel like they have to rush that trust process, which it's like asking a child to grow in their maturity. You know, sometimes it just has to naturally happen. You can't really force that to happen. And so I think in this level of your relationship at this stage, you're building that trust. Now, I just want to say something. First of all, I think you're right by being concerned about this. But one thing that you got to understand is that sometimes we bring baggage with us when we're getting to know someone. And I've been there. It's not so much that he probably, and I'm just making some assumptions here. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, which is always good to do, right? When you're building a relationship, you want to give the other person the benefit of the doubt. And in this case, it could be that maybe he's had relationships where he couldn't trust, and he's kind of clinging those things together. There's a reaction because he felt hurt by your reaction. And so now he's reacting. And usually that's what happens.
Right.
There's a book out there called Love and Respect, and it's written by Dr. Emerson. And what he says is he talks about the crazy cycle. And the crazy cycle is when a man doesn't give a woman the love she needs, and the woman in return doesn't give the man the respect he needs. And so they start going through this vicious cycle. Now, not to be alarmed, but in this case, what you're going through is a small vicious cycle. It's you did something, or he did something, and you did something in return, and now you're both hurting one another. And you're like, well, I was wrong about this, but why did you react this way? And you weren't gracious. And until someone humbles out and says, you know what, I was really wrong, I'm really sorry. And I think that in some case, maybe you did make some kind of, you know, conclusion that wasn't the best, and you can apologize about the family. And you know what, that's going to happen a lot these next few weeks, right? We have Thanksgiving coming up. We have Chris, you know, there are going to be some challenges with family. And so you got to get ready with, okay, you're not just going to marry this man. You're going to marry his family. And he's going to have to trust you that you love him unconditionally, and that you are going to give his family the benefit of the doubt, but that you need to speak about how you feel. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes complete sense. Wow, it makes complete sense.
And I just want to encourage you, this is normal, but you have to deal with it. It is. It's very normal. The what's not normal is if you deal with it in, you know, some kind of destructive or you know, a way that it's not going to bring you closer. And so I don't know what the outcome is, but if you and your future husband or, you know, your boyfriend at this time, if you haven't just sat down and really kind of with the emotions are out of the way, really have dealt with this, I want to encourage you to do that. You know, go out on the date and say, okay, let's take a moment. Let's just talk about this again. And if you can't deal with it, just the two of you, then it's good to have someone in your life that can say, well, let me just be objective.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what happened. Just, you know, hopefully he's listening. And if he's not, you can share with him what I said. It's good for you guys to revisit the situation, especially before the holidays.
Yeah.
All righty.
Thank you so much.
And we wish you the
that
best.
That was so helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Okay, take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to another anonymous caller, this time on line two. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Hi, good morning. I had a question. I've been married to my husband going on 7 years. 2 years ago, he walked out and left me and my children. He left for about 3 weeks and came back. I accepted him back. We went to counseling, and now he's been going almost a whole year. I told him I forgive him. He was cheating again. He just up and left. I'm willing to forgive him and work it out. I've been praying and trusting God, but he just won't come back. And I don't know what else should I do.
Okay, so you want to work this out, but it sounds like he doesn't?
No.
So what can you do other than, have you communicated with him that you're willing to get help? And
he doesn't want to talk about the situation. If I talk about it, he hangs up on me.
Wow.
I don't know what to do. I didn't even see it coming. I heard him cheating and he just left.
Let me ask you a question. The first time he cheated and you dealt with this, what was his reason? I know it to some people we must say reason. There's no reason. There's always a reason someone gives for going outside of the marriage. What was the reason he gave?
He said that I pushed him into someone else's arms because that wasn't the first time he cheated, but he said I kept bringing up his kids and actually pushed him into the person's arms.
How?
From constantly bringing it up.
Okay, so you brought up previous infidelity, and he said that caused him to go into someone else's arms because you brought up the past?
Yes.
And what about this time? He's not saying why.
He's not saying anything.
Okay. I'm just going to make an assumption here, and to your husband's defense, he's not on the phone, so I don't know, but it's just an assumption from where I sit, okay? So, again, this is not from God. This is just from a man who sits here and is trying to give you good advice. There's two things I want to say. Number one, I think your husband is just making up excuses for being unfaithful.
Okay.
He's just, you should not feel any of that guilt, because the difference is, let's say it's true that you were pushing him away. Then he needs to deal with it. I could understand it, but it's not excusable. Mm-hmm. You know, there are things that people can do. You know, people can push us in a lot of ways, but we have our own choices. And he's chosen to be unfaithful. And it sounds like he's done this over and over again. And so he is just an unfaithful, you know, cheater. I mean, that's what he is. And what the Bible calls that is a man who lacks self-control. Proverbs 5 talks about how this kind of man will end up alone towards the end of his life. Okay, that's what I see from here. Now, the second part I want to encourage you is in Luke 17, verse 4, it talks about forgiveness. It says, if he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. And I just want to break down that forgiveness for a minute, because I think you are there where you've forgiven your husband. You're willing to take him back. And so that's important. OK, you need to have that. But there's a difference between forgiving someone and taking them back. And I want to encourage you that in your heart, it seems like you've guarded your heart. You're willing to take him back. You're there. You're already at the forgiveness part. However, because you're so quick to do that and your husband hasn't really changed, then there's a lot of potential for him to just keep doing this over and over again and use you like a revolving door. And so what I tell couples all the time is before you take them back, get help. Make sure, one of my favorite scriptures, Acts 26:20, make sure that their deeds is what shows the repentance, that you prove your repentance by your deeds. And so okay. I don't care what he says. If he came back right now and says, take me back, and he should be like, we need to get some help. We need to talk. And guess what? You can ask him and say, why did you do it this time? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it. Then he hasn't repented. And until okay. he takes responsibility, he can't put it back on you. You sent him. No, he takes responsibility. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. You be blessed. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. Today we are talking about beyond the broken trust, repairing the hurt and pain caused when trust is broken. We look forward to your phone calls at 855-454-5905. And don't forget, we are going to take a moment to check our second favorite book. That's Facebook, and find out what you're saying there. If we're not yet friends, please make sure you go to Facebook.com and look up Marriage Beyond the Vows. Hit the like button, and then we can be friends, and you can post your comments. We're going to take a brief pause, and we're going to return with more conversation when Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this.